Well, we're studying still through the book of Genesis, and we're going to, Lord willing, look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 22. We will not probably discuss much of the very last few verses, because we're going to talk about it at another time, where he talks about what all is going to go on the ark and all that. But today we're looking at Noah, and if you see up here on your board, I've got it titled, Noah Found Grace, and that's what the Bible's talking about. Now remember, last week we dealt with the first seven verses of chapter 6, which dealt with the Bible called them the sons of God, and we discussed how that was angels that had fallen, demons, that had relationships, married, had took wives, the Bible says, of the sons of man. And so these would have been regular human women that they had inhabited the bodies of human men and had relationships with them and bore children. And we saw that those children, the Bible talked about, were being giants. And we talked about the giants in the land and how they were destroyed at the flood. But again, after the flood, we saw more giants on the earth. And so we talked about all those quite a bit. But what we saw at the end of of our studies there in verse 7, where it says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Well, we talked about that last week, and how that repenting wasn't the Lord repenting of what he's done. He's not needing to be forgiven for anything. It just simply means that, he's going to have to destroy man after creating them because of the sin that's in their life. And so now he's just going to start over. He's going to just wipe off the face of the earth. Now, that's what he said right there in verse 7. He's going to destroy man. But look where we pick up this morning in verse 8, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. There's a little word right there at the beginning, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, this little word right here has great big meaning. If you look throughout the Bible, there's several things you'll find where that word but, it changes things. It changes lives. It changes what God says is going to happen. A lot of things are contingent on what God says. Like if God gives a commandment and he commands that somebody do something, and if they do this, then he'll do this. And so he may say, thou shalt not do this, but, this. But here we see that he says he's going to destroy man, but. And so this completely changes everything. He is going to destroy man, but one man. Actually, four men, with Noah's three sons and himself, but here it makes a world of difference, that little small word right there. I will destroy man, but Noah found grace. It's a lot similar to what we find in the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph when he had been, of course, mistreated by his brothers, thrown in a pit, and then sold into slavery into Egypt, and all the things he went through, the trials, and going to work for Potiphar, and being falsely accused, put in prison. All the things that happened to Joseph, we've seen his life and how Joseph was a good man and he didn't do anything wrong, but yet he had to go through all these things. And if you remember, when his brothers, he confronted his brothers, they didn't know who he was, and then he surprised them by revealing who he was, and they were, of course, all afraid because they knew what they'd done to him. And he told them in Genesis 50 and 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me," and then he uses that word, "but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." And so we find this little word it makes a great difference in a lot of lives and a lot of things dealing with God. One thing I do want you to notice also in that verse 8, that's the very first time we're introduced to the word grace. Grace, right there, it's your first. Remember, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. So we find a lot of things that originate here. Well, here, grace is the first time we read this word. And this word is going to be used throughout God's word. All the way to the book of Revelation, we're going to find grace mentioned all through there. In fact, God's whole plan for man is all centered upon his grace. Now, you've heard me preach enough to know that when we see that word grace, it typically means unmerited favor is what the definition is. It's unmerited favor, something that's been bestowed upon you due to nothing you've done. It's just God's good will towards you, God's good graces towards you that he's done something. So in the middle of this perverse and wicked generation that Noah's living in right here, and we talked about that last week, all the awful things that God looked and saw that man was doing, and how they were every imagination, the Bible said, every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were evil continually. And so God said, well, I'll just destroy this man. Well, here in the middle of all this perversion and wickedness, there's one man the Bible talks about that has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, some may think that means Noah was without sin. Noah was not without sin. Noah was a sinful man then, and he was a sinful man after the flood. And we'll study more on that in Genesis chapter 9. We'll see that Noah certainly had sin in his life. So he wasn't sinless. He had sin, but here we find that he has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we ask, well, how did he find grace if he was a sinner? And by the way, if he's found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that means he's been justified. He's been made righteous, is what that means. And so how did he do this if he was a sinful man? Well, we can find the answer in a few places. First, if you look in the next verse, verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. All right, so being just means that he was made righteous. He was righteous because God made him that way. God made him righteous because Noah was a man of faith. As we see, I want you to look at Hebrews 11 and 7. This is going to be important. This is an important verse that we're going to keep referring back to, Hebrews 11 and 7. That shows us why Noah was considered righteous or just or perfect, in fact. And found grace. And this is the great faith chapter in the Bible. We talk about it a lot. The Faith Hall of Fame. And the Bible starts, you know, at the top there. Starts listing off all these people of faith. And here in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, do you see that? What it just said? It says, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So how was he made righteous? By faith. By faith. That's what the Bible just said right there. By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved on that by fear, and he feared God. And it was through his faith that he became an heir of righteousness. And so it was simply through Noah's faith that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of this faith, God clothed him in his righteousness. And so when you see in the Bible where a man is made righteous or he's justified or has found grace, that's always talking about God's righteousness. This man's not really, we don't have any righteousness ourselves. Our righteousness is nothing, the Bible says nothing but it's filthy rags. It's only because we're clothed in Christ that we're made righteous. So it's his righteousness that we're clothed in. Same with Noah. It's God's righteousness that Noah is clothed in. Think about it like this. If you're saved today, then you've been made righteous by him, but you still sin. I still sin. I've been saved, but I still sin. And you'll continue to sin. Now, there's a lot of teaching going on these days that once you're saved, you no longer sin. That is not true. The new creature doesn't sin. The new creature that lives inside you don't sin. But your old man that's still hanging on, you still sin. And you'll continue to sin until the day you die. And so we are only made righteous and in front of God's eyes and justified to God because we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. Here in Noah, it's God's righteousness, but of course we know Christ has always been. But it's by faith. And so if you're clothed in righteousness because our righteousness is filthy rags, so it's Jesus's. All right, so Noah's righteousness is the same as ours. It's pathetic and nothing except for by God imputing it to him. So he's found grace in God's eyes because of his faith. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 7 right there. It's by his faith he became heir of the righteous. And so it's the same way Abraham was saved. The Bible talks about two different times in the New Testament how Abraham was saved or made righteous. Once in Galatians 3 and 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And in James 2 and 23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. When you see that little phrase right there, believe God, he believed God. Abraham believed God. Noah believed God. So-and-so believed God. That means they had faith in God. And by their faith, they are imputed with righteousness. That's how Old Testament saints are saved. You know, New Testament saints like us, we're saved by the righteousness that is made to us through Christ because we have faith in Christ. Noah has faith in God. And of course, and a lot of people don't believe that these people had any idea about the Messiah. The Messiah has been taught all through the lives of the generations of the Jew and God's people. And so they believe in the promises of God. And by faith, they accept that. And by their faith, they've been made righteous. That's how an Old Testament saint gets saved, is by faith, same as we do. So we see, and I've got them listed here on your board. There's seven things right here that we see because how Noah found grace. First of all, he was a man of faith. That's what it said in Hebrews 11:7. He feared God. What did it say? It said he moved with fear, didn't it? Yeah, he moved with fear, prepared an ark. So he feared God, which the Bible says is the beginning of knowledge. And he believed God, which was also in Hebrews 11:7. He would not have done any of this if he didn't believe God. He was warned by God, and he believed it, and he moved on it. He was a just man. That's what it says in Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. It also says that right there in Genesis 6:9. It says, and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, again, Genesis 6:9. And Noah found grace, Genesis 6:8, in God. So all seven of these things attributed to Noah being made righteous. And may that be said of all of us, that all these qualities that we find in Noah should be found in us today. We should also be men and women of faith. We should also be in fear of God. You know, it's a holy respect of God is what that is. We also must believe God. We believe his word. We believe everything in it. If you tell me you don't believe some things in the Bible, that tells me you don't believe the Bible. You must believe it all or you don't believe it at all. We should be called just men and just women. That means we're always doing what's right and never what's wrong. We also should be walking perfect in our generations. Now that one right there may be difficult in the day that we live in, but you think it's bad now? It was just as bad in the day of Noah. While we may have access to the World Wide Web and television and movies and things that Noah didn't have access to see what all is going on in this world, it was just as wicked. It was just as vile and evil in Noah's day that it is in our day. And so, again, I'll mention again in verse 5, if you want to look back up there in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so that description of the days of Noah, which, by the way, the Bible says that when the Lord comes back, it's going to be as in the days of Noah, when it was people were only doing things evil continually, and it's that way now. That describes our current generation. And so it ought to be said of us, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they were perfect in their generations. They walked the way they should. They walked with God. But you know, this country today that we live in, it is so flip-flop from what it used to be. I mean, think about it. Today, people can, they have abortions, they murder babies in the mother's womb, and they're praised for it, congratulated for it. Get on national television and boast about it and how great it was. And but you know what happens if you kill a bald eagle? If you killed a bald eagle, there's a maximum fine of $5,000 or 1 year imprisonment for that. With $10,000 or not more than 2 years in prison for a second conviction. So go mess with a bald eagle. You're going to get in more trouble than you would for killing a human being by messing with a bald eagle. Felony convictions carried a maximum fine of $250,000 or 2 years in prison for messing with a bald eagle. What about a sea turtle? Y'all seen the penalties for messing with sea turtles? Even their nest and their eggs? It is illegal to take, harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, or capture any marine turtle, turtle nest, and or eggs, or an attempt to engage in such conduct. Violators can be fined $100,000 and a year in prison. for messing with a turtle egg. Messing with his nest. If you go online and type in this about sea turtles and finds, you'll find signs that's posted in places such as Florida around the ocean. And they've got signs there, and it tells you all this. You cannot, it lists all those things. Can't take, harass, harm, pursue, hunt, all this. And they've got a little picture of the turtle right there. And they have the big fine down at the bottom of it. But yet you can go inside of a mother's womb and murder a human being and no repercussions at all. Now, I'm not in any way condoning destroying bald eagles or sea turtles or anything like that. I don't think we ought to do that. But in this wicked generation that we live in, man has put animal above human life. And you'll see that is one of the first signs of depravity in a race of people, is they put animals up higher than they do human beings. Human beings are just nothing. They're just disposable. It's like a Bic lighter, you know, just throw it out. That's the way the human beings are today. I want to show you something here, and I don't know if you've seen this. It's a little disturbing.
Friends, I pray, sir, you got to repent, sir. You got to repent, sir, for murdering babies.
Why?
Because it's a sin before God.
Why?
Well,
stinky breath.
Yeah, that's pretty evil of you, sir.
Yeah, I am.
And then I hope and pray that you...
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do to babies, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
You love it, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I hope that you come to Christ, sir.
Oh, I never go to Christ.
I hope that you come to Christ,
no,
sir.
No, I don't go to Christ.
Yeah, you...
I don't listen to Christ.
You will have a darkened heart, sir.
I do have a darkened heart, yeah.
You have a darkened heart.
I do, very, very much
and
so.
You will stand before God in judgment
day. Yes, I will. Every day.
You will stand before God in judgment.
Yes, I will. Every day.
All of the babies that
I
you have
I love it.
Killed.
I love it.
Yeah, keep tearing the babies
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, I will.
Keep tearing the babies
I
apart.
I will.
Keep tearing the babies apart. Yes, sir. The babies, their blood screams from the ground.
Did everybody hear that? So we have a young man confronting this doctor, abortion doctor, about murdering babies, and you saw his reaction there. That man's name was Robert Santella. He was a doctor for, I think, 40 years. That happened in June of 2016 is when that happened. After this came out and went viral online, the backlash from it, he was fired from that clinic. And he had several other lawsuits against him for malpractice and things. But because of that, he was fired, and just a few months later after it, and then that clinic closed 8 months later in November 2017. He lost his medical license. They say he gave it up because he was fixing to lose it. He gave it up in December of 2017, and then he died, it says unexpectedly, in January 2018, a month later. And they also say his wife died 6 months after he died unexpectedly, and they had no children. This is the kind of generation we're living in, where we have something like this. It's evil. Evil is celebrated. One of the things that disturbed me the most in that video was the police officer that was standing back there laughing about it all. She thought it was great fun. And that's the way that the world looks at things like this. They'll look at a Christian and try to witness to somebody, tell them the truth, and they'll just laugh at us. They think that we're crazy. And they'll stand there and laugh. Well, they will, just like the young man said right there, you will have to answer before God. And so, in this wicked, perverse, and vile generation we live in, we need to walk perfect in our generation like Noah walked in his. Now, they were also aborting babies in Noah's generation. We don't think about things like that. They were sacrificing babies in that generation. We see all throughout the history in the Bible, we see where even Jews were sacrificing their own children in the fires of Molech, just like their wicked, the heathen nations around them. And so, listen, we are living in a generation like that, where it's wicked and perverse and vile and evil. And we need to be walking as perfect as we can while we're here. All right, let's pick back up there in verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we will talk more about these three sons of his later on as we look at their life on the ark, and then after the ark, we're going to talk about them more. But we're never told in the Bible that Noah had any daughters of his own. It doesn't say in the Bible that Noah had a daughter or anything like that. He very well could have. Noah lived 950 years. He lived 350 years after the flood. And so he could have had more children, and which the Bible doesn't talk about. Could have had daughters at that point. We don't know. So the Bible is silent on it, so we can't say whether or not he had any daughters. But he did have these three sons. And so now look at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. All right, so not only is man corrupt, but because of man's corruption, the earth is corrupted. Everything about it. And that's why we see such a catastrophic difference in the way the earth is formed today than it was before the flood. After the flood, things changed dramatically on the face of the earth. As we know, that's when the land split up like it is today. And we've got the different oceans and land forms and things. And so a lot of things happened. Not only was man corrupt, but because of his corruption, he corrupted the earth. Everywhere anybody would go, every place, it was evil and corrupted because there was an evil and corrupt man there corrupting it. It's the same today. Look all around us. Did you ever think some of the things that you see out there today would ever see in your life? I mean, you know, there's, liquor stores now being built right by churches. You know, used to, that was illegal. It was against the law. Do you know, I rode into Knox County. I complained because they were trying to pass a law about, and it was affecting churches. They were trying to take away the law that you couldn't sell alcoholic beverages within, I think it's 350 feet of a church. It was something like that in the law books. And they were trying to do away with that because there was some places wanting to build right by a church. And they did away with it. But I emailed all the lawmakers here in Knox County and complained and told them that I didn't like that. Do you know one of them actually come back to me and said that I didn't understand what I was talking about and all this? One of them just emailed back and said that they appreciate my input, didn't offer anything else. But they passed that, so that that's no longer a law. And so you could walk outside the church one day and there may be a liquor store being built beside us. And they'd be going in buying and selling liquor on Sunday while we're going to church. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that was just another way of showing disrespect for Christians and the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't care. And so, things have really changed from what they used to be. Hey, come on in. And so we see that so much difference. And here the Bible says that the land was corrupted, and it was because of the corruption of man, evil in man. And the sin that had took place. And so God said, I'm going to destroy all the earth. And that's why he decided, you know, he's going to destroy the earth with water. Now we know that he made a promise, and we'll talk about that in later lessons. He did make a promise that he would no longer destroy man through water like that. But we do know he's going to destroy this place with fire eventually. And so we find, look at verse 14. No, before that, I had something else to show you. I want to show you something. We were talking about the corruption of man and how everybody was doing evil continually. God saw it and how they were doing continually. And we think, well, we live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is the Bible Belt. And so we live in a pretty good place. Listen, it used to be a pretty good place. And we may be called one of those Bible-minded cities, you know. And I believe that's probably because that we have, Crown College, Bible College. And there's a lot of people that, you know, associate us with that. But this is no longer the way it used to be. Everybody here doesn't know about the gospel. They don't know about Jesus. In this very community, you can go and knock on doors and introduce yourself to people, and they've never been in a church. I've told you before about how a young man that came here before, and we were practicing a Christmas program, and we started talking about Christmas songs, and I said, well, we don't need to practice this one because everybody knows that. If you don't know this song, you might as well leave. And I was just joking, and there was somebody sitting there, and they had this awful look on their face, and I said, what's wrong? And they was like, he's never heard it. And it was something like Silent Night, you know, something that we've all grew up with. This young man had never heard that before. He'd never been in church, and he'd never been around Christians. And so he didn't know any of this. And so, you know, we can't have the mentality anymore that people understand what we're talking about. When we go and knock on a door and we say, you know, I'm from Highland Baptist Church, and, you know, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? They may have never heard that before. What do you mean receive? Receive who? Receive? What do you mean? You know, and a lot of times we use kind of verbiage and things that some people may not understand. For instance, if we ask somebody if they've been saved, they may not understand what you're talking about. Saved from what? You know, was there a fire? Was there a flood? So they don't understand the way that we speak a lot of times. And we need to take that in consideration when you're witnessing to people. You need to understand this person may have never heard the things that you know. And so approach them, you know. You can introduce them to the gospel. And by the way, it is not your job to convict anybody that they're lost. It's your job just to tell them what God's word says and let God do the convicting. And so our job is simply to share the gospel with them. We're to go out and to preach unto every creature. And so God does the convicting, and he'll do it through his holy word. I've seen a lot of people think that it's their responsibility to convict the person that they're witnessing to. And they'll get all up in their face and get belligerent and screaming and yelling, you're going to go to hell and all this stuff. God does the convicting. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. That's what his job is. And so we simply share the gospel. And, you know, a lot of people are timid about sharing the gospel. And I understand that. I'm a timid person a lot of times. I'm shy. They call me backwards. But God's there to help you. You know, he's not going to leave you alone to do it. You may think that you're alone, but God's there with you. The Holy Spirit's driving you to do this. He'll be with you. And so simply just going up to somebody, you know, and just saying, you can just open it up, you know, casually, like, hey, do you go to church anywhere? You know, something like that. And they say, oh, no, not really, or something. That's time. Well, I'm going to give you the Bible tract. Our address is on the back of it. If you want to come to our church, I would love to have you, or something like that, you know. Or to simply say something like, if you was to die tonight, and I know sometimes that seems grim, but you approach somebody and say, you know, if for some reason you were to die tonight, do you know where you would be after that? You know, and that opens up a lot of thoughts and doors right there. And if they say, well, I think so. If they think so, then they don't know. If somebody tells you they think they know where they're going, they don't know where they're going. And so you need to explain to them, listen, you can know where you're going. You don't have to think or hope or worry about it. And then you simply share the gospel with them. And tell them what the Lord done for you. And say, well, you know, I once was lost and didn't understand until I realized I was a lost sinner. The Lord convicted me. And, I trusted Jesus. I believed Jesus by faith as my Savior. And he saved me. But you can share the gospel, you know, many different ways. But anyway, I'm getting back to this. And where the world was continuously evil, people were doing evil continuously, God saw, and so he decided to destroy the earth and everyone in it, except Noah, because the Bible said, but Noah found grace. But I want to show you something, and this I'm not trying to make fun of these folks. And I'm sure, Alma, you understand this. Dylan working where he works, he saw a lot of these folks. But what I was getting to is we live here in what we consider the Bible Belt, and where we think everybody's all right. Let me find it here. Here we go. This happened in the last 24 hours. There are, I believe, 41 arrests here in Knox County in the last 24 hours. I got these just, I think I got them last night about midnight. But if you go down through this list of 40 different people, you're going to see all these different things. A lot of these are drug charges, unlawful drug paraphernalia, theft of property. We got possession with intent to sell cocaine. This is in Knoxville, Tennessee, okay? Unlawful drug paraphernalia, theft of merchandise, meth possession, unlawful drug paraphernalia. There's more meth. DUI, first offense, domestic assault, evading arrest, DUI, first offense again, public intoxication, simple possession, casual exchange, driving while license revoked due to conviction of DUI. It just keeps going on and on. It's endless. This is what's going on all around us at all times. Now, you know that I work at a job, and I work downtown Knoxville. And so I see a lot of these folks out there. So I see a lot of these type of folks out there, and there a lot of them's hooked on drugs and alcohol. You see them on the sidewalks, see them in Market Square. And the police are in there a lot, arresting a lot of people. But this is the type of things that we are faced with today. It's not just your sweet little grannies, you know, and all these good kids that go to church and all this. This is the type of thing that we're faced with. And while those type of people, we may not think, well, I don't want to hang out with them. Well, I don't either. But they need the gospel. They need to hear the good news. Because right now, what they're going through, that's bad news. That's bad right there. The majority of these people right here are lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. And they need to be reached. I have a good friend. Well, not a good friend. An acquaintance. He goes every morning or every Sunday morning over here to the Knox County jail, and he witnesses to people. He was in jail, and he was in there on drug charges. He is now clean and sober, and he's going there and witnessing to other people. He has a little devotion and things with the prisoners. And so, you know, these people need help. They really do. But this is, you know, it was bad in Noah's day. It's bad in our day. It was really bad in Noah's day as well. Lots of things going on. And so he goes on to say there in verse 14, it's where we stopped off, and he's giving the instructions to Noah here of what to do, how to make the ark and all, and which we won't go into great detail in this lesson because we're going to cover this later on. But look at it. It says in verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now, remember what we just talked about concerning Noah's faith. I listed you up here six things of why he found grace in God's eyes. I've got seven things listed there. The last one was finding grace. But six different things that we found in the text, and a lot of them in Hebrews 11 and 7, where it tells us that he was a man of faith, he feared God, and he believed God, and that's why he moved. He moved on faith. So take that in consideration. At this point in history, it had never rained. Men had never experienced, there was no boats at this point. There was no rain, there was no floods. They didn't know anything about this. And so this is all brand new. Can you imagine God coming to Noah and telling Noah that I'm going to make it rain? There's actually going to be a waterfall in the oceans from the deep. They're going to break up and it's going to flood this place. And you're going to have to get on something so that you could be saved. And I'm going to tell you how to build it. And it gives him all the instructions there of how to build this ark. This is totally brand new. Yeah. And so you have to know that it had to be faith that Noah had to do this. Everybody else would have sat there and they would say, "Are you're crazy. What are you talking about? Rain? What is rain?" And so there had never been anything like this. And so God described something to Noah that he's never seen. And by faith, Noah believed it, and by faith, what the Bible say? By faith, he became an heir of righteousness. Same way that we do. By faith in Christ, we become heirs of righteousness. And so he was saved the same way we are, by faith. And so if you notice back in Hebrews 11 and 7, it said things not seen as yet. So the only way that Noah is going to, by faith, do this is by believing that something's going to happen he's never seen before, and he believes God, and he's going to go through with what God told him to do. Nothing else would have motivated him to do that, to make an ark. I mean, there'd been no reason for it. Verse 18 says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Now, here is a promise to Noah from God. This is his promise. If you move by faith, he said, "I will establish my covenant." Now, we know he made a few covenants with Noah. This is one of them. The other one's going to be the covenant of the rainbow, which has been perverted in the day we live in today. But he makes a covenant with him. He says, "I'm going to establish my covenant, and you'll come to the ark." And not only is God going to save Noah, but he's also going to allow his sons' wives and Noah's wife to also be saved. It's part of God's covenant with him that he would do this. And so if he'll go by faith and do what God says, he will be saved. God will save him. Not only will he save him, he'll save his wife and his sons and their wives. And so there are certain promises that God makes that are contingent upon what we do. "I'll do this if you'll do that." You know, God will save us if by faith we'll trust Jesus as our Savior. We receive Christ. He'll save us. That's a promise. I mean, he promises that. And so some will say, "Well, Noah's family was saved because Noah was saved." Well, you're looking at it wrong. That's a yes and no answer. Yes, because Noah had great faith. They saw the faith demonstrated in Noah. They believed God too. Now, God doesn't just go around randomly. I mean, you've got to have faith in God to be saved, all right? And so the same thing here. His sons and his sons' wives and his wife, I fully believe, by everything I read in the Bible, they too had faith in God and were made righteous. They had Noah as their to demonstrate faith in God, and they saw everything Noah did. Remember, there's also, we don't know how many people on earth at the time. There was a lot of people on earth at this time. For 120 years, everybody else on this earth also had the opportunity to also have faith in God. They had that opportunity. That was God's grace period of 120 years. He said, I will not strive with man, but 120 years. So they had that point of time, which the Bible tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. No doubt he stood out there and explained to people what's going on. And by faith, they needed to trust God. Well, for 120 years, nobody else did. It was him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. And so because he was a man of faith, they too were people of faith because they saw him as their leader here, and they also believed God. And so they also were considered righteous. They were saved as well. That's why they're on the boat, and God took care of them. Verse 19 says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, I'm not going to go into all this today because we're going to look at this closer next week and the next as we look at how this ark was formed and built and all the things that God had Noah bring on there. And we're going to get a little deeper into this. And I'm going to cut off a little early today because I have some things I need to do before the service. But does anybody have any questions, comments, any input or anything on anything we've discussed this morning?
I think I said this before, but if you go and see that ark they built, and if that's the way that it really was, I don't know how no one did it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's right.
Go ahead.
A couple of observations.
Yeah.
It's doubtful that Noah and three sons built the ark by himself, so many of the people in the community probably helped him and may have even seen it from start to finish, but many of them, well, none of them except the family got in the boat. But there's a second thing I want to mention, is that I don't know how old these sons were, but Noah was 600
yeah.
years old, and you know, he's either having children when he's very old, because the sons so far didn't have any children themselves.
Yeah.
So apparently they were still rather young, but that's a guess.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting thought there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, you don't really think about that, but yeah, that was a huge undertaking. And so no doubt they, whether they hired people out to do it or whatever, you know, they had people helping. It's the same today. If you see something, a big structure going up, everybody that's working on that's not a saved person. I mean, you hire people to help out, and they could even build a church. They can come and people could witness to them. And while the church is being built, as soon as it's built, they're on their way to the next work site. And so, yeah, there was people that had opportunities there, and obviously did not have faith in God. And yeah, that's interesting also about the sons. And we see afterwards, after the flood, it talks about their offspring. But yeah, Noah, what was 950 when he died, 350 years alive after the flood. And so, it's a lot of interesting things.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else?
If his sons and wife had not had faith, they wouldn't have gone on the ark either.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. I mean, I know God's, I mean, from what I can understand, God says, I will establish this covenant. He gives them this opportunity, but of course, God being sovereign, and I mean, he knows what's going to happen, but I believe that if they didn't have faith, I don't believe they would have made it. I believe that maybe they'd have died before, or who knows? We just can't interject our, you know, in the Bible what we believe, but we can only say what God says.
Methuselah supposedly died about 1 year before the flood.
That's right, yeah, he did.
And between righteous Noah and Methuselah, still the generation at that time did not believe God, in spite of, I'm guessing if Methuselah preached too, I'm not sure, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
How hard-hearted the people were in that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to be. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, too. All right. Well, we'll just have to keep you. That's good. All right. Has anybody got anything else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible study this morning. I pray it's been helpful. God, I pray that you help us continue studying through it, Lord, that the Holy Spirit illuminate the Scripture for us. God, we're praying now that you go with us upstairs during the service, and Lord, that you'll be glorified in everything that's said and done, every song sung, every word spoken, every message preached, God, that you'll just be exalted. Lord, if there's one lost today in our service, Lord, I pray that today will be the day you convict their heart, and they'll come to the knowledge of Christ, Lord, and get saved. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.